scripture says that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. Have you felt that there's some areas in your business that have felt some sorrow? Maybe it's not showing up directly in your business, but maybe it's showing up in your home life, in your marriage, in your relationship with others. Maybe it's showing up in your mental health and in your physical body, and you're wondering, why am I not truly experiencing the blessings of the Lord? Why am I feeling so much sorrow? In today's episode, we dig really deep as we sit down with the Crystal Parker, who is the president of the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce. And she really digs deep in sharing her personal testimony of how she's overcome some of these issues and what it took for her to really scale her Christian business into the next level and building from the inside out. She talks about some of the decisions she had to make, the shift in her heart posture in aligning with Father God and the principles that he has for family and he has for business and for really scaling into a new level of success his way. And so if you've been in that situation, what I want to encourage you to do is to get ready to be inspired, because we went deep, we went off the beaten path, and we really shared some wisdom that you can impart in your life and business right now. So get ready to be blessed in this episode. What's up, leader? Welcome to the Gifted Entrepreneur Show, the dopest podcast on the planet that explores the world of Christian entrepreneurship and reveals secrets to unlocking your unique codes to create generational wealth. I'm your host, LaDondra Hervey, wife, mom, award-winning author, and Christian business coach who's excited to take you on a transformational journey of taking bold steps to unlock your unique gifts and pursue your entrepreneurial dreams with unwavering faith. Buckle up, it's time to make your dreams of creating generational wealth a reality. Hey, 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 what's up, you guys? Welcome to the Gifted Entrepreneur Show, the only show where we are going deep to unlock the codes to your God-given gifts to create generational wealth. You know how we do it around here. We get raw, we get real, we are authentic in the things that God has for us. And today will be no different. Actually, it's going to be even more exciting because I have a special guest on with us today. Y'all, I met a phenomenal lady, Crystal Parker, at an event. Like, I'm thinking I'm going to just go pitch my little business and go out and share another level. And there was this woman, like I say, Crystal Parker, who graced us on the stage, called us higher, had us sitting straight up in our seats, and had a whole nother mandate coming out. And I was like, who is this woman? This is a woman not only after God's own heart, but a woman that I need to know. Y'all, I want you guys to get ready for a phenomenal conversation, because we are about to get in and talking about how to create a Christian business, not only create it, but to scale a Christian business from the inside out. And this is not going to be your traditional conversation. So I just want to interrupt that right now, because God is about to move in incredible ways, and I already know. So get ready to take notes, because we're going to drop some phenomenal gems as we go on. But before we do that, let me formally introduce Miss Crystal Parker to you guys. She is a former executive of a Fortune 200 publicly traded oil and gas company. She has over 25 years of experience in organizational management, leading hundreds of employees to provide J.D. Power's award-winning customer experience with more than 2.1 million customers across the USA. She's a former college dropout who has advanced her education at Harvard Business School.
for senior executive leaders focusing on innovation, globalization, and leadership diversity. She has earned an undergraduate in psychology and a master's in marketing. To add on to all of that amazingness, she is the president of the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, a member of several boards who are integrate faith and business. And y'all, one thing I've learned about her, she is passionate wife and mother who is integrating all of this with Jesus. So welcome, without further ado, Crystal, welcome to the stage.
Wow. Thank you so much. That was just poetic. Just hearing you. We're going to get real and get raw. Let's go. And hey, before I even get started, let me just throw it right back at you. When you pitched at Lion's Den, I was like, I gotta know this woman. I learned so much. I grew just listening to your pitch. And wow, I'm blown away by everything that you're doing. So it is truly an honor to be here with you today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that. I truly appreciate that, Crystal. Well, I would just kind of go ahead, if we can we go ahead and just jump in deep? Like, just go ahead and come on off the deep dive here, because you literally have a phenomenal just bio and just a wealth of experience and just the way that you have lived your life. I got to hear it in person. We got a cliff version through the bio. But what I found is that a lot of times entrepreneurs, high achieving entrepreneurs, can find themselves in that place to where they are in a place of pressure. They're performing and there's that performance-based behaviors that's going on. And one thing that we like to do in this podcast is really take our audience from pressure to purpose, and going from pressure into purpose where you are abiding in Christ, you're partnering with Christ. Have you ever found yourself in a place to where you were in that performance-based behavior and maybe you found yourself kind of attached to your work? You found your identity in your work. And if so, how did you navigate that to where you moved from performance-based behavior to really partnering with God?
Well, I actually even wrote about this in my book. There was a snapping point for me for that, because, you know, I was a college dropout and started back in my town of 300 people and thought, what am I going to do? And how am I going to get out of here? Or do I just stay here forever? And I started stocking shelves in a truck parts store. And it was a subsidiary of one of the gas companies. And in less than 12 years, I became the youngest executive in this Fortune 200 company. And so I was running the gas company on the west side of Texas in 47 cities, and then all of customer service for Texas, predominantly male-driven organization. I'm obviously a female. And I ended up going back and getting my degree in psychology around many, many engineers. And so I feel like the whole time I was there was about performance. It was, and I remember as an executive, a young executive, I was 34 years old when I became an officer in the company. There was 60 officers in the whole organization, and I was the fifth woman, just to kind of give you some context. And so I just remember talking to my mom and saying to her, you know, there's a lifespan on this. The fact that I came in at 34, the work, the pressure, the performance, I mean, it was palatable. There was nothing growing around my vision except for a laser focus. So unless it was work focused, it fell to the side. Family, life, friends. I had nothing other than I was good at my job, and I was good at my job. But I had it all on my shoulders and all that pressure. And so when, you know, fast forward, when marriage gone, all kinds of just crazy stuff, because I was working to achieve power, money, success, all of the things that I thought that mattered in the world, and that would make me successful and make me happy. So I'm stuffing all these things into a broken vessel. And I finally ended up leaving the company And I remember telling my daughter at this point, my daughter, well, I have to tell you, so when I unfortunately went through a divorce because I was married and obsessed with my career and my success and everything that I was doing, me. And I remember my daughter, she was about 4, and at the time, just barely turned 4, maybe 3 and a half. And I didn't just become a single mom, I became a solo parent. So at that point, there was my ex-husband was nowhere around, and it was me. My family was 9 and a half hours away or a plane ride away. And here I am. I've got responsibility on the whole west side of Texas. Southwest Airlines is my taxi, and I'm now becoming a solo parent to a very young daughter. And I remember having to call her friend's mom and say, "Where's Dance at?" That's how far away from my home and life I was, because I was so ingrained with that pressure. This is the pressure cooker, okay? Pressure cooker, pressure cooker, pressure cooker, and performance, do. And at this point, I don't know, I've maybe clocked 60, 70 hours by Thursday every week. Plus, I was getting my master's degree. So this is all piling, right? Because I'm performing. And so finally, I ended up deciding to leave the company. And I remember telling my daughter at this point, she was probably second grade, I'd put her in. And I looked down at her. I was in Panera. I will never forget where I was. I looked down and I said that mommy's no longer going to be with the gas company anymore. She looks at me in beautiful brown eyes, welled up with tears. And she says, "If you're not Crystal Parker, vice president, who will you be?" And the saddest thing about that was, I was so busy trying to figure that out myself that that question from my daughter didn't even alarm me, that she didn't see me as mom. She saw me as corporate being. I mean, you sell everything for that life, you give everything for that life. And it took me so long to realize this. So I wrote about this in my book that oftentimes people become the identity of their job. They become the identity behind their house, their car, whatever they've amassed around them. And when you strip those things away, you literally take it down to the studs. What are you and who are you? And that was a question I had to ask. And unfortunately for me, I had to remove myself entirely from the situation to start to build back to find out, who is Crystal Parker? Now I tell people, I am a child of the risen king. Without that, I am nothing. And I had to rebuild to figure out how to integrate my life with Christ in my job and working with him, which is working is worship to me, but not worshiping work. See, there's a difference. And I fell into that trap. So I hope that helps to kind of get the I get it. I get it. It was almost like becoming vanilla and not having any flavor at all, no seasoning, because I didn't know who I was.
Wow, you know that. Thank you for sharing that and being so transparent, because I think that many of us find ourselves in that situation where we're like, I found myself in this trap of work success, and I'm performing to keep it all up, and at the same time, like losing time with my family. I've been there personally, to where I'm like trying to do all these things, and I'm at every event, and then I started to realize, like, hold on, like I'm starting to feel this void in my heart, to where I'm like, I'm missing my family, I'm missing the important things, and I'm like, what has happened? I didn't even realize what had happened because I was going so fast. And it seems like that is what was happening in your life, Crystal, is that you were just trying to build, and you were trying to get to that next level. And sometimes we think that that next level is what our kids want and what our family is wanting, but really, it's like it's the opposite. They just want us. They want a lot more of us. And I think that your daughter asked a powerful question: who are you if you're not Crystal Parker? Who are you? And you're like, I'm thinking that you were trying to figure the same thing out. Who is Crystal Parker? So what I want to ask is, like, in a practical way, because you have built so much at that point, how did you step back to really say, okay, like, what is the true foundation? And how can I rebuild this to where work becomes worship and not the other way around? Or it is that, like, I'm integrating my faith. Does that make sense what I'm asking you?
Yeah, that was one opportunity God gave me when I we call it got free from corporate America. When I was freed from corporate America, I remember walking, it felt like to the edge of the cliff, and looking over at this very scary vision that God gave me of starting my own company, leaning into my talents, skills, and abilities that He gave me. And I looked over, but that was a very, very scary place. And I know many of the audience listeners for you have started their own business, or they're doing their own business plus working a corporate job. And I was being called off into entrepreneurship, and I was terrified. So I stepped away from that calling and went back to what was comfortable. And unfortunately, I did it all the wrong way, because I didn't fully have enough faith and trust in God, that God got me. So for 15 years, I was serving the man, right? A company. And that's how I received security, money, financial stability. I didn't tie that to God's blessing and God's provision on my life, even though I knew God. I didn't have a relationship with God. And so I stepped away from what God was calling me out to, this great faith walk, and went back to a sure thing, right? So I had another 5-year journey into a wilderness. And then God brought me right back to that same cliff, which it felt like a cliff. It was an opportunity. And the next time I just stepped off into it and I said, okay, God, if this is really you, if you're really calling me here, I will take this step. And I know it had to feel a lot like Peter stepping out of the boat, like, okay, is it really you, Jesus? And then the minute you take your eye off, it gets scary. You start to feel like you're sinking. And God just walked with me into this journey of entrepreneurship, which then I fell into the Christian Chambers, and just this great deep walk with God, realizing that when you are truly surrendering everything to Him, to your Creator, to the Creator of the universe, to the Creator of money and all things around you, and really surrendering your life to serve Him in that sense, then you don't worry about how is it going to come from, where is it going to come from. And there's true an integration of Christ and abiding of Him, the Holy Spirit, because you know at that point in time, if God brings it, if it comes, it's because God brought it. Yes, I have to actively partner with Him. I can't just lay back on the couch and throw bonbons in my mouth and watch Days of Our Lives and think that I'm gonna, make a difference for the kingdom. But it's my passion that God's given me. I always say business is my sport. I love business. It's so fun. God wired me that way. And so because He's wired me that way, partnering with Him on a day-to-day basis to do the work that I love to do, that God has blessed me to do, is a most amazing thing. And it really does help with that abiding. And it also keeps me in line from that pressure to perform because of this. And I think you can relate to this. When God brings you a vision or a purpose, it's oftentimes greater than anything that you can accomplish on your own. It's oftentimes greater than anything that you could even dream of accomplishing. It's scary. It's terrifying. And when that comes, if you try to accomplish it on your own, you're not trusting in God. God will bring you the resources. He will bring you the things that you need. And so it's hard. Don't get out of check, right? It's hard not to get out of balance when you're truly serving God's big purpose for your life. But He brings every single thing you need. And then you look back and you go, this is only explainable by God. I could never have done what God has done through my life, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. And what I heard is that surrender, and that surrender can be one of the hardest things in the beginning, because we're looking at what we can hold up instead of allowing God to hold us up. And I literally was on a walk with my daughter yesterday. We were on a 2 hour walk,
Wow.
and we were just talking and talking, and she was asking me some questions around purpose. And I was just telling her, I was like, don't if God is giving you the vision, there is provision that is attached to the vision, but you gotta trust it. And part of you trusting it is not looking to what other people are doing and how they're doing it, because what God is gonna give you, it's gonna blow your mind. And you're gonna be like, who am I? And what is, I'm not qualified for this, and just all this, because it's so much bigger. But then that's where you get to surrender. And when you surrender the plan back to Him and you start to walk in blind faith, one step at a time, that cliff, it doesn't have to be as big of a jump as you thought it was, because He's walking you through step by step by step. But first, you got to take the first step. In order for the Red Sea to part, they had to take a step into it. They had to take, well, I'm thinking the Jordan. Before the Jordan parted, they had to dip their toe into the water and it parted. But until they took that step, and so many times we find ourselves caught in our head, or we caught in other people's opinion of us, or we're caught in the world's methodology to success. And what we find is it chokes out that kingdom expression, that kingdom fruit that God is trying to bring forth of multiplication. And when I'm saying that kingdom, I'm thinking of the soils. And one of the soils, it was the soil, thorny ground, and it was caught up in the cares of the world, my security, my safety, my next. And that is the thing, that's the thorn that always just traps us up. But when we set our heart on good ground and we surrender, that's part of that good ground, taking those rocks out, taking those thorns out, taking out all that baggage, and setting our heart on good ground, which is on Him, in Him, partnering in Him. Then we move from 30 to 60 and even 100-fold worth of growth. And Crystal, I've seen that in and through you, just in the little time that I've saw that I have experienced you, because I have a high sense of discernment. And you just come in and there's so much transparency in you. There's so much of God in you, walking your talk. You're not just saying a thing, you're embodying it in a way to where, when, like I said in the intro, other leaders are standing up and their back gets just a little bit straighter because you were in the room. And
Wow.
that's because you've done the work. You've done the work, and you were willing to look at the woman in the mirror and say, you know what? I know God, but I don't really have a relationship with God. And so, in order for me to scale my kingdom enterprise, it's going to start with that relationship with God and understanding that work is worship, and it's my opportunity to evangelize in the workplace. It's my opportunity to share the word of God. And so, I want to know, what does it look like for you? Who did you have to become in order for you to scale your kingdom enterprise? You have your company with intent and impact, and you're the president of the chamber, and you're serving on so many boards and doing so much. Who did you have to become to really step into that next level?
Wow. Well, before I answer that, I just want to tell people I'm going to rewind that back what you just said over and over. That was five sermons right there. In one message that you just wrapped up, because there was so much. I want to go back on slow-mo and listen to that again. That was powerful word, powerful word. Who did I have to become? Well, I mean, you said it when you said it takes that step before the water parts. It takes that first step. And you use the word surrender again, and that's it. I mean, I truly had to just say, this isn't about me. If God's in it, it's not going to fail. It's not about if I'm serving myself, then I'm going to fail. If I'm serving God, I don't have to ever worry about that. And I truly just had to become surrendered to Him. I'll full on. I remember a worship song was on. I can't remember exactly what one it was, but I literally in the middle of the day, if I had a peeping Tom, boy, they would have really wondered what was going on in my house. I literally face down, just in the middle of the day, fully hands out, face down, and just worshiping and just surrendering my life to God. And I remember saying, have it all. It's yours. Whatever it is that I have is yours to serve you. And don't ever pray that prayer unless you mean it, because There's been plenty of times I'm going, whoa, I remember that. And then he took off. But I think the biggest thing is really progressive revelation. You know, he's not going to give you the full picture. He's not going to, and you've got to be okay with that. And that's hard for us as women. We like to be in control and have plans and know, you know, where our plane is flying and where we're getting off and who's picking us up and where we're going to go. That's not always how it works with God in serving him and whatever it is he's called you to. And gosh, guys, this isn't just if you own your own company. Even if you're working in a company, entrepreneurs, business owners, church leaders, teachers, I mean, we're all important for what God's doing through our lives to reach people for the kingdom. And so there's no job or role that's less significant than any one of us. We're all important in this. And so to truly just be willing, you know, we all hear from the Lord, even though sometimes we've pushed him out of our lives. But we all hear from him. It's you'll hear it in your spirit. You'll be like, where did that thought come from? And when you do, just be obedient to it and just listen to it. Tune your ear, and you'll hear from God, and then you'll hear again, and you'll hear again, and then you'll start to be able to sense and hear his voice in your life. And I remember early on that I had a voice that I was listening to, and she was really nasty. She sounded like me. It was my voice, and I was very, very ugly to myself. I would say things like, "You're a two-time divorcee. Nobody's going to love you. You're from a little town. You're a college dropout." I would say these horrible things to myself, and I would allow it to ring like a movie over and over and over again. And then I heard something from Pastor Stephen Furtick once, listening to one of his messages, and it was caught between two truths. And what he would say is, you know how the devil is. The devil will come at you, and he'll come at you in your mind, and he wants to attack your identity. He wants to tear you down. And what the devil would say, you know, through my head would be these things. And it's true. Those were all true things. Like my dad told me, "You're not as smart as your brother and sister. You're going to have to get lucky." That was a movie over and over again. "You're dumb. You're dumb. You're dumb." Well, that was true. I wasn't as smart as my brother and sister, but I had better emotional intelligence than both of them. And so it was like, yeah, that is true, but it is also written. Having the word of God stored inside of my heart. So when I heard that nasty voice, finally I called her out for what it was. I heard it and I said, wait a second. That movie, that reel is not going to continue on in my life and continue to drive me places that I deserve less, that I am less. I am a child of the risen King. That God before me, no man can be against me. That he put me at the head of the table. He is the head, and I get to be a child of the Most High King. That's my daddy. So these things may be true, but I know who my daddy is. He's the creator of the universe. He's the giver of all things, the maker of all things, and that's my dad. And so when I started to replace that stinking thinking with what the truth, the living, breathing truth, the word of God, every single day I would walk into my daughter. You talked about your daughter. Every single day I would walk into my daughter's room and wake her up like this. "Good morning. It's time to rise and shine like the star you are. It's a new day, a new dawn, a chance to make a difference in the world. I'm a big believer in dreaming big. If you can dream it, you can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. He will never fail you nor forsake you. Guard your heart, it's the wellspring of life." And every day I put that. So one day, just recently, she's 17, and I heard her saying it. So we were storing positive things inside our mind that if you pull the living word of God and you start storing that, it shapes who you are, who and how you become, how you deal with situations, challenges, life. It brings and builds your faith so you can make the next step and the next step, and you won't give up because it's not going to be easy, guys. And so, gosh, I went on a whole rant and rave, and I gave you my morning wake up, but I hope that's helpful for you.
There is so much Holy Spirit fire in that. I'm like, yes. And I'm all that. Oh my gosh, there's so much to unpack in what you said. I don't think I'd be able to unpack it all because it was so much. So here's what I'm going to encourage you guys to do. Go back and listen to that because I believe that there is someone who is listening, who is in this place to where you're feeling like, I don't know how to surrender. I don't know how to, my identity is so tied up into what I'm doing instead of who I'm being in Christ. And Crystal has literally unpacked so many things there that you can apply to your life. So what I'm going to say is, go listen to that, write it down, and then sit with the Holy Spirit. Whatever comes up for you, sit with the Holy Spirit and say, God, what say you about this for me personally? What do you want to say to me to interrupt the conversations that I'm having with myself that are not necessarily full truth? They're not full truth because, see, that's what the enemy does. Like Crystal said, plant deception. So he'll give you part truth, but then in there is a lie tied into that. And so we believe it because we're like, well, technically that's true. Well, I love that she said that is true, but it is also written that. And she started to speak and override the lie with God's word and God's truth and create. She said something really powerful that she did for her daughter and that she continues to do for her daughter, the declarations. Get a declaration and read it over yourself. Speak it over yourself. As she was reading her daughter's declaration, I thought, man, I'd wake up so on fire, I'd probably run through a brick wall and won't even feel it because God's spirit is in me. And it's just like, I could defy the impossible, And so because I'm so in partnered with God that whatever I just made a mountain in my mind, that declaration and of his truth just destroyed it. And you guys, that's the kind of work that it requires for us to not only grow in a relationship with Christ, but then to enter into that next chapter of our life and in our business to scale and create a multiplication effect. Because again, if your heart is not in the right place and it's not, and you don't have biblical foundations, whatever you try to build, you're going to build from sorrow. It says that the word of God says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. So if there's parts of you where you're experiencing sorrow, look at that and say, am I building from the foundation of Christ or am I building from something else? Because the truth is, the blessing of the Lord, it makes one rich without sorrow. And when we think rich, it's financially, it's emotionally, it's spiritually, it's in your relationships with your children, with your spouse. And so if there's something you need to go back and look at, be willing to do that. And then I love that you talk about progressive revelation because you're so true. It's so true. Many of us, we want to know the whole story, and we want to know what the whole staircase looked like before we get up there. And it's like, well, who's going to be up there? What I'm going to have to deal with? Blind faith. Keep walking one step at a time. He will reveal himself in and through you. And I'll tell you what, like she said, be careful what you ask for because what he's going to give you, you're gonna be blown away. I would not want, having some foresight now, I would not want to know the whole story because it can, what will happen is that sometimes it can create fear and that what they like to call imposter syndrome. Who am I? You're a child of God and you're ready, you're equipped, you're anointed, you're appointed. And I was literally listening to David Crystal, the just the movie and how they do those little movies, and he was like, I've never been a king before, so how would I know how to be a king? And the Samuel was telling him in the movie, the fact that God has ordained it, then you're already equipped and well prepared to stand in the position that you've been anointed and appointed for. So can walk in it and trust it. And I think that that's what it is, one step at a time, that progressive revelation, and be obedient to the thought. That was the other thing she said. See, y'all, I told you it was a lot. Go back and listen to it. Be obedient to the thought. So if God plants the seed, that thought is a seed. be obedient. How you be obedient to it, not only do you receive it, but you take action. Your actions is what waters it. And then before you know it, then that progressive revelation unfolding itself in your life and business. And before you know it, you're interrupting a story that you've told yourself that's not true. That's not true. So you guys, Crystal, like, whoa, that was amazing.
We need to go on the road together. This is fun because you said something in your recap there that I had never heard before, building on sorrow. Oh, woo. And I'm thinking about my story, and I'm thinking about that comment that my dad said when I was young about, not being as smart. And I built my whole career. I never thought of it, but I were overworked. I worked hard because I was so afraid of that, and that was a hurt, and I built on top of it. And if we're not building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that any wind, rain, storm, fire, it will all go away eventually. And building on sorrow, oh, that's a master class right there. Are you building on sorrow? Are you built on sorrow? You hear this all the time. People at the top of the game, for what the world might think, they've got the beautiful house, the nice fence, the good car, their hair's combed, they've got a house cleaner taking care of everything. They've got everything that you would think, and they come in and they say, "I'm missing something. I'm sad. My life is in shambles." Here's the question: what did you build it on? Did you build it on sorrow? Oh gosh, LaDondra, like, I'm having a moment with, and y'all, let me just say this too, guys. We prayed that the Holy Spirit would take this call.
Yes,
Like,
we
we
did.
prayed for you, whoever's listening, whoever's receiving this, whoever's feeling something here. We didn't know exactly who we prayed for, but we very both well clearly heard the Holy Spirit just wanted, we just gave him permission to take it.
Yes.
There's something really powerful here, building on sorrow versus building on God. And that's business from the inside out. That's literally business from the inside out, because outside in, the world thinks it looks good, but inside there's sorrow there, there's hurt, there's fear, all those things. And you build on that, I'm telling you guys, it is not sustainable, and it takes a lot of work, human work, to hold it together. And so that you don't appear to be a failure, or don't, oh my goodness, the whole thing will crumble, but it has to. So you're going to have to let it, so you can build on God, and you'll see an acceleration happen. It might feel like it's devastating and the end of the world and lonely, and you might feel like there's no way I can restart. But I'm thinking about all the times I had to restart. I mean, imagine driving from a college that you said to a town you said you'd never go back to of 300, to the place where your dad told you weren't very smart, and you had to start over. Like, that was pretty stinky. But then I've had harder ones than that. But you've gonna have to let it crumble so that God can build it solid if you want it to be sustainable, or you're gonna work yourself to death and then have what at the end? Because once you let go, if it's not God made, it's still going to go away. So shouldn't you start now building on Christ? And then the question might come up, well, can I build on Christ while I kind of hold on to everything I have here? And I'm going to turn that over to the professional for that answer. LaDondra, can I build it on Christ and kind of hold on to everything I got so that I can eventually step over to my Christ foundation? What do you?
Yeah, you know what? Listen, that's a phenomenal question. And here's what I say. And here's how God works. Both and can be true. Both
Ooh.
can be true. And so the thing is that you will find in the Bible that let's go back to David. You will have David, who was a shepherd but called to be a king, like at the same time. So there's these dualities, two dualities that's happening here, and both can be true. And so hold on to that kingship side of it while you're working through the progress, taking the steps to become the thing. So yes, it can crumble, but as it crumbles, I will tell you that God is a master builder. He is a master builder. And so since he is a master builder, He will take those pieces, put it back on the potter's wheel, and shape you to become everything that he has destined you to be. So you gotta be willing. You gotta be willing to let it go so the pieces can come back together. Because remember, he says that you are a masterpiece. And when you are, and when you're standing in the hand, when you're in the hands of God, there is no failure. There is no failure. So let him rebuild those ruins to the temple that you have been created to be. Let him shine in and through you. Let the world system to fall off of you. Because a lot of times we have our programming that's so ingrained into the world system. And it's the patterns that we're walking from that's interrupting our next level of success. But if you interrupt those patterns and you shift, renew your mind, and part of allowing things to crumble is you, that it's that ruin. It's what feels like ruin, but new birth is taking place in and through you. Think about this, a fire. A forest fire. It burns through everything, but from that burning through, there is new seeds that are dropped. There's a multiplication that happens. And so we got to be willing to let it go, to let God show us the way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And both can be true while we are on this journey of progressively becoming who He has destined us to be. So don't let the enemy lie to you and say you can't do both. If you can be in a place to where it's falling apart over here, but it's also growing over here. So just be willing to go through the process.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
Crystal,
that's
you got me on fire over here.
I'm on fire too.
I hope you guys are really putting out, listening to what's being deposited, because again, we literally, like Crystal said, we prayed. And we know that this word is specific. We are not on the beaten path of interview questions. We've come off of that. And we are on the path of hearing somebody is needed to hear a specific word. And that word, I'm believing right now, you're catching hold of it right now. And that it is taking root in your heart. We're not going to create space for the enemy to come and with distractions in to rob you of this word. It is taking root right now in your mind by the way that you are starting to think about yourself, by the way that you are interrupting those past conversations of what your family has said over you. And what your community has professed over you, and even what you have professed over you. We are declaring the word of God to be the ultimate truth. You are a king. You are a citizen. You are everything. You are a masterpiece. You are everything that he has destined for you to be. And yeah, you look, I don't want to go into this because, you know, there's a word that there's something that Crystal is doing, you guys. It's called, she's putting on a conference. It's called the Spiritual World Citizens. And y'all, when I saw it, in this business from the inside out, and when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, my word for the year is citizenship. I gotta help her get the word out because this is amazing. Like, it's kingdom citizenship. And I love that what she is doing is helping us to go and tap into another level of our kingdom authority as kingdom citizens, as entrepreneurs. You both can be true, all can be true. And most times we want to say, oh, I'm a business owner over here and I go to church over here. We're all of it. We're all of it. It all is integrated. And so when I was looking at her website and about the event, she describes the event as doing business from the inside out is how believers will gain a competitive advantage. See, we think that we can gain that competitive advantage by that dog eat dog world. That's not it. That's not it. That we can do a competitive advantage, birthing new companies and strengthen kingdom commerce across the globe. Once business owners invite Christ into their business through the Holy Spirit, they will experience signs, miracles, and wonders only explainable by God. Y'all, this is phenomenal. Crystal, tell us more.
Woo-wee. Okay. Well, so many times in business, people tend to rationalize the blessing or miracle because they're not attuned or looking for God. And we want to really help people see where God is moving in business. Really, God is moving in business. God is moving in business. People and organizations that have prayer partners praying for their business are seeing signs, miracles, and wonders in business. And what we want to do through this conference is equip and empower Christian business owners to lean into a competitive advantage that we as believers have. You talked about the parable of the seed sower. You talked about several key pieces here. That's an advantage for us in business. If we're building from foundation of Jesus Christ and not building on sorrow, think about how much stronger your business and organization will be. Think about how wonderful your company can run and your team will run and you will perform if you know who you are and whose you are. If your identity is clear, if your business's identity is clear, foundation in Jesus Christ, listening and hearing from the Holy Spirit, working in unity. LaDondra and I, we are connected. We're not competing. We're helping each other to be successful. Imagine if you have a company filled with people that are interested in helping one another to be successful and serving one another instead of backbiting and fighting that can happen in companies sometimes when people are misaligned or jealous or being competitive internally. That hurts the mission and the competitive advantage. And then the last thing is being co-workers, co-laborers in the service of God, of seeing our businesses as opportunities to reach people for the kingdom. And I'm not talking about taking a book in the Bible and beating people over the head or scaring them away or making them uncomfortable, but I'm really talking about people coming to you and saying, "What's different about you? How is it that you reacted this way in that situation? Can you tell me more about God or what you're doing? What's different? Or where are you going on Sundays? I want to go with you." That's how we co-work with God. That's how we co-labor with Him. And when we are doing these things, our businesses are going to grow, they're going to be more successful, and you're going to gain a competitive advantage in business. Come out to the conference.
You guys, that is some phenomenal things, and I will tell you it's true. So the thing about it is you want to get into the atmosphere of good ground. And when you're in the atmosphere of good ground, you can expect nothing but a harvest of the things that you are needing in this right now season. Because see, God is specific. He's gonna meet you exactly where you need. And so if it's that, it's that you need that healing around the co-working part. Maybe you've been hurt behind some things that happened in the past. And maybe you need to experience what a healthy community looks like. Maybe you need to experience what it means to be around true kingdom business builders who believe and know and are walking their talk in really show evangelizing through their business. They're not beating people over the head with a Bible. And you're like, well, how can I do and be more of that? This is what you want to get in the room for. Remember, these are investments in yourself. And so when you invest, all you can do is experience multiplication. It is written. And so God's word is not a lie. And so if he's telling you and you feel an inkling in your heart, go to uschristianchamber.com and sign up. Don't let money be an excuse. Don't let it be the excuse, because remember, it's not our resources anyway. It's his. And he's looking for the way that how you stewarded the resource that he's put in your hand. And so this is your opportunity to steward that and get in good in the room where there's good ground.
Wow.
Crystal.
Wow. Yeah, I mean the prayer around this event is divine connections, opportunities, relationships, healings, just really truly expecting God to move. And we've already seen Him move in just getting this conference to where it is, what's happening, some of the stories that are coming in. I'll just share one of them because you talked about resources. We had a woman in Texas that really wanted to go. Wasn't sure about making the investment and really praying about that. She left church and a man came up to her from her church and he handed her two checks and he said, "One check's for the conference, one's for your airfare and hotel. We were praying in our men's group and we fully believe that God wants to send you to this conference because there's something you need to bring back for us." And so she's coming to the conference. God will get the resources to you. He's the creator of all things. It's the God's the ticket maker, right? He's the resource maker. So he'll get you the resources, but be willing and be obedient to that Holy Spirit. I do believe there's a war for souls in our nation. Believers in the marketplace need a place to come together, and the time is now for our nation. I think we all can recognize that we've all been told. I was a babysitter. My mom always said, "Leave the house nicer than when you got there. Don't be leaving dirty stuff all over." Well, we haven't done a great job for our kids with our nation. We need to do a better job for our nation. So it's more than just your business. It's really about how are we going to come together in the U.S., put God back in business, back at the center of our nation, and have Christian business owners come together and unite. Community, social capital, relationship capital is the strongest currency that you could ever put in your pocket. It's more so than the dollar. Those relationships could pay so many dividends for you, whether it's just a little bit of advice, an encouraging word, or maybe it's business down the road. But you want to be in the room. Don't sit on the sidelines and watch and wish that you would have. Just sign up, join us. We've done everything that we could to make this an affordable conference, so there is no barrier. We're looking for the CEO of a company, the owner of a company, the C-suite of a company, blue collar worker or white collar. We don't care. We want God's people that are postured in a position to understand what it means to co-labor with God to come to this conference and go back into their workplace. And just like that woman from Texas, share that word, make a difference, and just let's see what happens as we shape the future of business in our nation.
That's so good. That is so good. You guys, I'm not adding anything else to it. It's said, it's done. That was what was needed to be said. And so if you're feeling this on the inside of your heart, be obedient. Be obedient. USChristianChamber.com. And I will put the full link to it, like where it go directly to it in the bio of this podcast description. So just go there, click, don't be driving and trying to write it down. It's all good. We got you covered. But we'd love to see you in the room. Crystal, thank you so much for being here and for the impartation of wisdom. We are all better for it. If there was one final word of encouragement that you leave with people, what would that be?
The thing that just keeps going over in my head over and over again since we've been talking is he is the vine, and to remain in him. The visual I want to give you guys is a branch, especially as we go into winter, there's branches broken and fallen off that are no longer in the vine. And they become deadwood, they become firewood, they become brittle. And if we remain in him, no matter what happens, whether he cleans our branches so that we can have new growth, like what you were talking about with the fire, or whether we have abundant and plentiful fruit on our branches, as long as you remain in him, then everything's going to be okay. Even if it doesn't feel like it, you have one thing you can count on, and that is God. He will never fail you nor forsake you. Remain in him in prayer, read the word, get in a community that knows God, and you can be at going back to church, turn on some worship music, whatever it looks like for you. Get on your knees in the middle of the day. Let your peeping Tom be shocked to see you on your face, worshiping your creator. Remain in him, and he will never fail you. That's my final words to share.
That is a powerful word of impartation. Thank you, Crystal, for being here. We are so much better for it. You guys, go back, listen to the replay, share this out with somebody who you know who needs to hear this word, because this word is specific and you get to evangelize through your shares. Okay, so I pray that you are blessed by this. And I also pray, Father God, that this word, it sits in their hearts. Father God, every listener who is listening right now, that this word sits in their heart, literally. And Lord, that it is protected from the strategies of the enemy. It's protected from the distractions of the world. It's even protected from their own story and the lie that the enemy has told them about who they are and what they can do, what they can't do, and all of that. We say that we are kingdom citizens. We are your children. And with you, nothing is impossible. So we thank you that we get to abide in you. We get to be in you. And that as long as we are in you, that we will always produce in all seasons. We are always protected in all seasons. We thank you for the impartation, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. All
Amen.
right, you guys, bye.
Did that episode feel juicy or what? If so, please do me a favor and take 30 seconds to write a review. Your review helps us to spread the mission of creating generational wealth around the world. And if you tag me on IG stories, I'll be sure to reshare the love. And don't forget to join our Kingdom Collaborators Network, where we're coming together to intentionally collaborate to grow our business. Until next time, remember, for with Christ, nothing is impossible.